You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Today is Tuesday, January 8th, and welcome to Episode 1 of the Wells Tech Podcast. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we're both very excited about hosting the inaugural episode of the Wells Tech Podcast. Sally, this is a brand new experience for me. I've never done a podcast before, but I've listened to thousands. I assume the same for you?
That's right. I'm kind of hooked on podcasts. I listen to them all different kinds.
And have you ever done one before?
Just some very amateurish recording with my family. We did some family podcasting a while back.
So we're going to try and take that to the next level. We should probably introduce ourselves in a bit more detail. I serve the Synod as its chief technology officer. I have been in that position since October of 04. It's been my privilege to spend time figuring out how technology should be used on the Synod level and provide some level of guidance to our congregations about how they might use technology in their work of spreading the gospel. So for me, a podcast about technology and how it can serve the church is kind of a natural part of what I do. Maybe, Sally, you can tell our listeners a little more about you and your experiences and position within the Synod.
Sure. My official title is technology trainer, so I get the privilege of working with a lot of different people on the various systems that the Synod offers for use with assistance with all kinds of responsibilities there. It allows me to keep up with new trends that are out there and share lots of exciting tools and things that can assist us in the furthering of the gospel. And I'm kind of in a unique position because I'm actually telecommuting in my job. Currently, I'm working from home in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, so making use of a lot of technology to make that telecommuting happen.
And, of course, I'm located here at 2929 North Mayfair in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As we move forward, our show format will look pretty similar each week. We're going to start off with Sally and I talking about a relevant technology/ministry topic each week. Then we'll jump into an interview with somebody who's serving in some kind of capacity related to technology and in some kind of ministry capacity. And today we're going to be talking with Brian Schaefer from Final Web. And then the last segment of the show will just kind of be a tidbit section where we offer help about tech and ministry-related topics. This particular show might be a little bit longer than most. We're going to try and keep a goal of a 30-minute show each week. But since we've got a little bit of introductory work here and some other things, we may creep over that 30-minute mark for this particular show. But subsequent shows we'll try and keep in that nice bite-size format of 30 minutes. So with that, why don't we jump into our discussion topic, Sally? And that's basically the question, that probably every one of our listeners is asking, why a podcast about technology and ministry? There's a lot of things that we could be doing. Why should we be spending time talking to our listeners about this particular topic and using the technology of a podcast? What do you think about that?
Well, every day I'm in contact with various people across the Synod and assisting them with different uses of technology. The technology spectrum is changing constantly, and it's a great place for us to make use of the tools that are available to further the gospel ministry. So just having a forum to talk about all of these rapidly changing tools is a good idea, I think.
Yeah, to me, one of the staples of my day is listening to podcasts. I have about a half-hour commute down to the office here and then obviously back. in the evening, and I try and make as productive use of that time as possible. And one of those uses is using podcasts, where I can just listen in the car. And I listen to devotions, Bible readings, but I also listen to other technology podcasts, so I can kind of stay up on what's going on. And as I think about what we can be doing, you know, within our podcast, one of the driving forces for me is the ability to help our pastors, teachers, other church workers, volunteers, you know, basically our audience, weave through all the advancements in technology that they simply don't have time to keep up on, and it's really not their job to do so, and then talk about technology as it relates to ministry in just kind of plain English. You know, what does this mean? How can the church, how can the school use technology to further the gospel?
Right. I've got some firsthand experience, actually kind of a crash course these last 6 months. My husband just finished up at the seminary and is a new pastor, and we've been experiencing integrating technology into our congregation and our school. We've signed up with Final Web and have a new website, and we're using church management software in our office, and I'm actually even volunteer teaching computer lab a few hours each week in our elementary school. And we can see, you know, firsthand how technology is assisting with the ministry efforts here in Sleepy Eye, and just want to share some of those ideas.
Yeah, there are lots of technology podcasts out there, but I think very few of them really focus exclusively on ministry issues and things that can help the church. And that's kind of what I'm excited about talking about as we go through each week, is trying to figure out, you know, of all the things within technology, what really applies to, you know, the work of spreading the gospel and strengthening our faith. There's just so much out there, and hopefully we can kind of cut through all of the, you know, all the stuff that that we really don't need, you know, on a church level or on a school level, and focus on those things that are really beneficial. And really, it's about the importance of reaching lost souls, and that's really why we're doing that. There's so much to be done. The Lord's put in front of us so many challenges, and He's given us a wonderful tool of technology to use and leverage in doing that. So that's really got me going about this podcast, and I hope that our listeners will be able to pluck a few nuggets, you know, of wisdom throughout the course of these podcasts, so that they can implement them within their congregation.
One more comment there, Martin, just even beyond them plucking from us, we're looking for their feedback as well and ideas from our listeners as well. We want it to be an interactive show. So if there's things going on in your congregation that are assisting with your ministry, we'd love to spread that word as well.
Yeah, truly, we want to make this a conversation. And at the end of the show, we're going to give you some channels through which you can participate in that conversation. And perhaps the number one goal for me, you know, to put it bluntly, is to not suck. We need to provide, you know, information that's going to keep our listeners in tune and coming back, so that they can be a part of that conversation and participate and make this show better and better. So, you know, give us a little bit of latitude here. We will try and find the best topics to talk about, and hopefully, you know, make good use of the time that you're investing in time listening to this podcast. So with that, you know, why don't we jump into our first interview? With us today is going to be Brian Schaefer from a company called Final Web. About 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, when I first started, you know, at the Synod, one of the things that I noticed right away is a majority, actually, and that's a true statement, a majority of our congregations did not have websites. Which, you know, even 3 years ago was a challenging thing for us, because we recognized here that congregations really needed to have that kind of presence, because more and more church shoppers or church visitors or potential church visitors are really looking to those websites of congregations as kind of a first look at what that congregation is about. And our congregations were not, many of them were not giving the visitor that first look. Or if they were, it probably wasn't the best foot that they could have placed forward. So it was a priority for me to try and get a solution and a vendor that would provide our congregations with an easy-to-use solution to kind of get that web presence out there. And we did a pretty exhaustive search, and the company that we finally decided to go with, to partner with, was Final Web. Brian Schaefer is an owner, part owner, co-owner of that that company called Final Web, and we talked to him a little bit about the company and what they have to offer. On today's show, we have Brian Schaefer from Final Web. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Brian, exactly what is your title or role at Final Web?
Well, my title and role, I'm the executive manager of Final Web, and I'm also one of the owners. And it pretty much gives me some involvement into a lot of different areas, oversight into things such as programming and development, as well as the hardware side of things and even the tech support side.
Okay, great. Now, for those of our listeners who don't know what Final Web is, Final Web is the hosting provider that we've been working with from the Wells for a couple years now to provide web hosting for our congregations, schools, and other Wells organizations. Brian, can you give us a little bit of an idea of how Final Web got its start?
Yeah, absolutely. We initially started out as a standard web hosting company about 7 years ago. Our goal was really just to host websites and nothing more than that. But we launched into a really competitive industry when prices were dropping to just a few dollars a month for folks who wanted to host websites. And so it was difficult to get our start. But about the same time, we were working with one particular large church here in the Southern California area, and they had some needs for their website. They were struggling because they were so large, and they had so many different people who had ministry needs and information that they wanted to put onto the site, and they just couldn't get it done in time. The programming staff was just a couple of folks, and they were just completely overloaded. And so what we did for them was to create a content management system that allowed them to create a ministry and put it online within a few minutes, and to quickly update the calendar, quickly update the news items for that ministry and any pictures or media that went along with it, and essentially launch a sub-website as a part of their ministry very quickly, within just maybe 15, 20 minutes. And it was very successful, and that website's still up today and is bringing in somewhere in the area of 5 or 6 million hits a month. But they enjoyed the technology so much that we asked them if this was something that we could sell to the general public and allow other churches to get online with this kind of ease, and they conceded to that, and it's been a success ever since.
Now, Brian, you mentioned something that maybe some of our listeners aren't, you know, really in tune with. You said a content management system. What exactly is a content management system?
Exactly. Well, essentially, in a standard web hosting environment, you need to hire a programmer, or have someone who's got some knowledge of HTML or code development in some language in order to get content onto a website. And that's the way that things were done for a long time. But obviously, hiring a programmer can be very costly, and so that kind of scenario is not ideal. And a content management system puts the power into the hands of the folks who have the information, into the hands of the people who are the pastors, the ministry workers, employees at the church, or maybe even just volunteers who say, you know, I'm not a programmer, but I can update the calendar. And so we give them an environment that's really easy to use, a web-based tool that they can just log in and click on add calendar event or edit calendar event, something of that nature, type in the information, then click submit, and they're done. So all that they need to do is essentially manage the content. They require no programming experience.
So one of the beauties of that kind of a system, then, I would assume, is that, you know, you don't have that funnel effect that a lot of congregations struggle with, where you've just got the one person who knows how to maintain the website, and everything has to go through that person. So if that person gets sick or goes on vacation or gets tired of what they're doing, you know, the website comes to a screeching halt. With a content management system, multiple people can manage different areas of the website and be able to administrate it regardless of the technology, really.
Right, exactly. I mean, we've all seen the trend on the Internet, and I would say, sadly, especially among churches and among schools, for sites is to go stale. And you look at a site, and maybe it's even really nice the first time you look at it, and they might have done some graphical things, although it's also common for those things to be lacking a little bit. But even if it is nice, oftentimes if you look back at that same site 4 or 5 months later, you see the exact same information. There's really no reason for a return visit, and they're not really using the site to the greatest potential to provide information to their members, or even to folks who are looking for them, trying to find out information about them. With a content management system, you can really prevent that from happening and keep the site updated and fresh all the time.
Brian, this is Sally Draper. I had a quick question for you. I heard you mention getting a site up in 15 or 20 minutes. That's pretty impressive. What exactly does a congregation go through to get started with Final Web?
Well, there are a couple ways to do this, and what I recommend that I think is really a helpful way to make a customer feel comfortable with the process is to do the free trial on our website. If you go to finalweb.com, and in fact, we have a special Wells portal there. If you go to finalweb.com/Wells, W-E-L-S, then you will see a special button at the top just for you to click on free trial, and it actually configures and generates a site for you right there on a temporary address. And what you would do is you would then go ahead and log into your site and, you know, click on the various editing buttons and features and go ahead and start making your first few edits on that site. And if you like it, you click on your purchase site button and it'll walk you through, I think it's about three different pages. They're very quick of just taking some basic sign-up information. And you can be online within minutes. And then it's just a matter of getting enough content up and getting the choosing the template that you like. We offer a variety of different templates so you can kind of choose the look and feel for your site, and then you're online. It's really that simple.
And what about training and support? Are you guys there to help them when they get stuck? Or
we do offer training and support, and you can pursue that in a number of different ways. You can submit a support ticket online. We also have staff here that are available to answer calls. We do an online chat as well. And we don't, a lot of companies charge for that sort of thing and make it kind of this elite environment that you have to be in order to be able to talk to somebody, and it starts getting really expensive. We don't like to do that, and it doesn't really help people to learn how to use the product well. So we want people to feel free to call and talk to our tech support staff who use this stuff all the time, and they can walk you through any little processes that you need help on.
Brian, do you have mostly churches that use your product, or is it a mixture of different kinds of clients? You mentioned that your start came from a large church that you were trying to create a solution for, but do you have other types of clients, or are they mostly churches?
We have a variety of different types of clients. We have, I would say they're definitely mostly churches. Somewhere in the area of 85 to 90% probably are churches. We also have a number of nonprofits. We have a number of schools. We have some businesses. We have also families. We have a family package that was really designed for missionaries and military families to be able to share pictures and information with the rest of their family that might be living far away. So there's definitely a mixture there, but we do heavy on the church side.
So I would assume that that's one of the differentiators between you and, you know, the gazillion other, you know, web hosting companies out there, the GoDaddies, the 1&1s, the Charters, the Googles, those kinds of providers. Is that one of the things that kind of makes you a little bit different because you kind of come from that church background and kind of get that side of web hosting?
And I think that part of the reason for that, too, is the feature set that we've built into our package. Having an understanding of ministry and being a part of a church has given us that advantage, and you will find other systems that do offer content management and some nice templates and the like. But the other thing that we offer on the other side of this is ministry-specific features that are built into the engine of this whole thing. For instance, the ability to upload your own sermons each week after services, and have them automatically become a part of a podcast that your members can then subscribe to. That's just a great feature that a lot of people are taking advantage of. The ability, if you're going to have a camp or a retreat, to be able to create that event on your website and within minutes be taking sign-ups online, including payment integrated with PayPal. So that now you've taken away a lot of the hassle of retreat management, where you can just push that online. You know, these kind of things you're not going to find with some of those other providers that we do offer that are all built into the package.
Just talk a little bit more about, in general, church websites. What role, at least in your dealing with congregations and churches, do websites, what role does a website play in a church's ministry or outreach plans today?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. The more that I do this and the more involved that I become with different churches, and I think just as the world changes and technology becomes more and more a part of where we live, the greater the role I see is that web technology is playing in churches. You know, one of the things that I hear all the time is that churches are finding that when someone moves to a new area and they begin to look for a church that they might go to, the very first place and the most important place that they look is actually online. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we never would have thought about that. You know, the Yellow Pages were, I guess, the way to go, and then you go drive down or do what you need to do. But because the web is so easy to update, and there's a simple enough way to have a website and to provide information about your church, people almost expect it. And it's getting to the point where if you don't have that up there, it's something that's sort of lacking. And you know, occasionally we'll hear some churches say, well, you know, we're not a real technology oriented part of the country. It's not really something that that our folks enjoy. And yet at the same time, I think they might be missing out on a little bit of this crowd that is looking for them, and they're not there to be found. And that's maybe the new member side, and the outreach side of things. There's the other side of internal involvement and just the being able to provide something for your members to where they can sign on, where they can see what's going on at the church really quickly, and they can interact with one another, even be it in a discussion forum or a blog or something of that environment. That's becoming immensely popular and just another great way to communicate with the folks inside the church.
Yeah, I know, just in looking at our congregation who uses the Final Web solution, one of the most highly trafficked areas is just the church calendar. You know, what's going on within the congregation? You know, what time is this meeting, or the choir's practicing when and where and those kinds of things. So it's become the standard for people to look to if they're looking for and just information about what's going on within the church.
Absolutely.
What's the in your mind when you're working with these congregations, what's the biggest mistake churches make when they're developing a website, just in general?
I think I have two answers for that. You can tell me which one you think is the biggest. But the one that I think annoys me the most as I look around is probably an aesthetic thing. Churches use a lot of fonts, and I haven't figured out quite why. I think everyone is a little bit font crazy at different times, and one of the things that you'll notice as you look around at different church websites is you see big text, then you see little text, and then you see text that's sort of in a, you know, the funny comic font, and then the colors change all the time. And I think the reason for that is because, you know, the site is developed over time, and, you know, as different pieces of information come along that the site administrator might want to share with the public, he wants the new thing to stand out, whatever it is, today's announcement or whatever, so he makes it a little bit different from last time. But what happens is when you go and look back on it, the site doesn't look like it really agrees with itself too well. So we try to encourage our customers to choose a font and to kind of go with one look and feel throughout their pages. And having a template environment certainly helps with that as well. But I think maybe
it'd probably be a good idea if congregations, you know, set some standards. You know, have somebody in charge of policing and determining, you know, what should be the consistent look and feel.
Exactly. It's, you know, particularly important if you have more than one person working on your site. And we do recommend that. You know, our package gives the power to do that, to have a whole team of people. But, if there's nobody kind of auditing, making sure things are somewhat consistent, then it can get out of hand. And I think another thing that people do, and this is true of churches and really of any site, is people tend to put on their website what their favorite features are. You know, I might be the pastor who is really excited about having my sermon audio download library, so I kind of heavy on making sure that's nice and up to date, and yet the calendar is lacking. Or, you know, I don't have anything about what my church believes or what makes us distinct from the other churches in the area, things of that nature. So I would just encourage anyone who's setting up a church website to try to sort of take a macro view and sit down before you do it and say, okay, these are all the kinds of people who might visit us. These are all the kinds of information that they might be looking for. And just make sure that even though you get your favorite features up there working, you also take care of those other things that might not be quite as important to you.
All right, sounds good. What, you know, as you look at the future of Final Web, what's on the, you know, product roadmap here? What are the next big things, you know, coming out of your product line?
Sure. The you know, I would say the next big thing is what we call our template generator that we've been working on. And this is something that will give customers the ability, if they have someone who develops their own website and they have kind of their own custom look and feel, but they still want to take advantage of our content management features and some of the built-in ministry features that we talked about earlier and some others that we haven't discussed. They can go ahead and upload that template in, and it will be merged into our system, and you know, it wouldn't be made available to everyone else. It would still be a custom template just for them, but it would be integrated with our content management and all those other features, so they could kind of do some custom design if they wanted to. Obviously, not everybody has a programmer to do that kind of thing, but it is a request that we have once in a while of churches who do, and now that this will give them the power to do that.
Now, Sally, you are you're a user, right, of the Final Web templates, is that correct?
That's right. Our church here in Sleepy Eye uses Final Web, and we've had great success with it. We kind of split up our layout, our design, to split the church and the school, and we have kind of two different templates that we use for the two different sides of our ministry. But it's been very well received and very easy to update. Have a lot of people working on different areas of the site, and it's a great resource for us.
Yeah, I don't know if either one of you keep track of how many Wells congregations we've got using the solution right now. I know at some point it was in the mid-200s. Does anybody know where we are right now?
I think we're in the mid-300s now. Is that
yeah?
Right?
Okay. Yeah, it's been great to see, because a lot of the congregations that are using the solution now didn't have a website at all. Or their websites probably were best taken offline, you know, because of the staleness of the content. And now with the Final Web solution, they are able to more easily keep that content fresh, and I think present a much better face to their community and to their members as well. Mm-hmm. You mentioned how to sign up, and you thought that maybe the best way would be to go on that. Is it a 14-day trial? Did you say?
That's correct. The trial is good for 14 days, and if you choose not to sign up within the 14 days, you still need some approval. Your site is still kept. We can also extend the trial if you need us to. You can just give us a call. But you know, the information won't just be lost. All the information that you work on during that trial period, you could still convert into your live site, which is a nice advantage. You haven't wasted that time.
Oh, tremendous. And what about domain names and those kinds of things? Do you handle that? And I know a lot of congregations have their own domain names that they don't want to lose. And email as well is a big concern.
Right. We provide all of those things. As far as the domain names go, if you don't have a domain name, you can certainly register one with us, and that's part of the process. And in fact, it's included in the package, so there's no extra cost for your first domain name. And most congregations just sit at one domain name. If you want some extras, we can provide extra domain names at $15 per year. If you have a domain name already and you'd like to transfer it in, there are a couple ways to do that. We can certainly transfer that in and take over the payment for those. You would still maintain ownership of the domain. We don't own any of our congregation's domains, and that is a big concern, because some of the companies out there lately, that's been an issue, where a customer tries to leave and a company says, well, this is our name, and we register the name in your name, and so it's not ours. We're just kind of a reseller in the process. But you can transfer those names into us, or if you prefer a different domain registrar, we can give you our server information. You can just point the domain over to your site on our servers, and that will work just fine.
And email?
And email. We do have a full email provision as well, where you can set up 40 mailboxes and 10 distribution lists on our server, and so that effectively gives you the ability to have email at your own church domain, and you can have your different, you know, you can create those for whoever you feel needs them the most.
Great. And what is the cost?
The cost is for most of our churches, the general cost of the package is actually $40 per month, but we have a special Wells discount for just $21 per month that gives you access to all the same things, and that's everything. It's important to note that other similar companies who do some church work oftentimes will kind of nickel and dime you as you add features and remove them from your site. So if you decide you want to make use of the prayer request section, you put that on your site, well, they'll increase your monthly bill by a little bit. And we don't do anything like that. We include all the features with the package for that $21.
Thanks so much for joining us, Brian. I understand that there are some congratulations in order. You've got a new addition to the family.
I do. My little boy Caleb was born on December 18th, and he's huge. He's 23 and a half inches long.
Holy cow!
Yeah, we're trying to check and make sure the hospital didn't make a mistake, but he's been a lot of fun, and he's kept us busy and tired. So, Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Lord's blessings on your growing family.
Thank you so much. And thanks so much for having me. It's our pleasure to work with Wells Congregations. We've really enjoyed it.
Oh, no problem. Blessings on your day. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
All right, Martin. Bye-bye, Sally. Thanks so much.
Sally, Brian is just a great guy. I think you can tell from, you know, his passion and how he gets excited about what he's doing that this is a labor of love for him. And he's been a great partner with us over these past two and a half years where they've worked with us at every turn to try and make improvements to their product and meet the specific needs that Wells Congregations have.
That's true. I've had personal experience dealing with Brian and his staff on a couple of kind of sticky situations where our congregations that were signed up with them needed some assistance, you know, migrating away from their other vendors and that kind of thing. And they've just been top-notch. I couldn't say anything bad about the service that we've received from Final Web. They're just awesome.
And again, if you want to get involved, you can go to www.wells.net/jump/web hosting. Incidentally, anything that we mention on the show, we're going to put in what we're calling show notes. If you go to WellsTech, that's WellsTech.wells.net, that's our WellsTech podcast site. And on that site, each week you will find basically the content of this show, which will show you or give you the appropriate links that we mention here so you don't have to furiously scribble those down or replay the podcast to capture those. So no worries, those will all be there. And you know, visit that site, and there's also ways to engage in the conversation there too by offering your comments and suggestions, etc. Getting back to Final Web, Sally, you've done some work on the training and basically a Final Web community site for Final Web to help our users get some good information and some training if they want to kind of stay up to speed and keep up with the latest things going on.
That's correct. We have a community site on our Wells.net University site, and I send out weekly emails to all the different subscribers to the Final Web service, and I'm constantly promoting new updates that Brian's implementing into the system, and sharing royalty-free graphics that you can use on your website, and just various tips and tricks. Community members are allowed to submit their websites for being a featured site, and we kind of do some exploration of how different churches and schools are using their websites to carry out their gospel ministry. So lots of good things going on there, and that is at wells.net/jump/WNU web hosting. And it's a public community. You can go out and take a look even if you aren't a subscriber. But if you do subscribe to the Final Web product, then you'll automatically begin getting email and tips and tricks, those kind of things from the community.
Yeah, and that community, as we mentioned in the interview, is over 300 people, 300 congregations, probably more than that on the human side. So it's a great resource, and Sally does a great job of keeping that up to date, and lots of resources there for all sorts of things that you can do on the website, not just graphics, but tips and tricks on how to set up pages and great links and those kinds of things. So take advantage of that. We've reached the point in our show where we're going to talk about the little tidbits that hopefully will provide some assistance to you. We try and look at things across the world of technology and relate them to items that would be of interest in your particular ministries, whether you're a call worker or a volunteer worker. There's all kinds of things that a church and a school can use, and we'll try and focus on those. So the first section in our tidbits section is what we call our picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick of the week?
Well, it's that time of year when everybody's interested in getting organized. I've got my new calendar out, and my pick of the week is actually an electronic calendar solution. It's Google Calendar, which is a really great way for you to put your calendar online, easily share it with others that need access to it, and we're using it here in Sleepy Eye to coordinate the schedules of the church office personnel. So if the church secretary schedules a shut-in visit for the pastor, then she can put it on his calendar using Google Calendar. And the calendar tool is accessible anywhere that you have a web connection. It's easy to get started. You have to create a Google account And you can have multiple calendars, so you can split up your calendar between church events, school events, pastor's personal calendar, all those different things. And you can even have it email you a daily agenda of your calendar items, or subscribe to an RSS feed of your calendar. It's a multifunctioning and very easy to get started with. You can find the tool at calendar.google.com.
Very cool. I did not know that you could have that daily agenda sent to you. That's neat. We use that at the family level. I've got a wife and three kids, and they all have their own separate schedules. So we were looking for a way to try and coordinate all that. I've got two in college and one just graduating from eighth grade this year, and they all have vastly different schedules, and it's really tough to determine who's got what car and who's going where and, you know, with who. And we use Google Calendar, and everybody's got their own calendar, and we can create a view where everybody, where I can see everybody's schedule, so we can see all the conflicts, and there are many. You know, a great tool, and it's free. Google does a great job with it, and it's very easy to use, very intuitive. So, great pick. Yeah. My pick is a software application. One of the things that is maddening, I think, for a lot of people is all the username and passwords that you have to maintain nowadays. Every website that you go to, it seems these days, requires that you log in, that you have a username and password. Some for very good reasons, some for not so very good reasons. But the fact still remains that you've got to keep track of all these. And it's probably not a good idea to use the same username and password for every site, because if that's compromised or gets in the wrong hands, then whoever has that has basically the keys to the kingdom. You know, they can get into your bank account, and they can get into all of the sites that you go to, and if you've got credit card accounts or accounts with different services online or PayPal, whatever. So it's an excellent idea to mix those up, and it's a very good idea to keep very, what I would call, strong passwords. You know, not the your mother's maiden name kind of password, but those things that are a mixture of upper and lowercase letters and numbers and special characters. But when you're trying to do that, it just becomes a nightmare to try and maintain a list of all those. One little application that I've used, and we use here in the Synod office, is an application called Password Safe. First of all, it's free, which is a huge benefit for it. I should mention that it's PC only. There is not a Mac version, and in these picks of the week, we'll try and mix that up because we know there are a number of Mac users out there. But Password Safe, you know, a little free utility, you can create a little shortcut key. So, and on my machine here, I just press Control-Alt-P. Up pops the Password Safe application. I have to enter in a master password, so obviously nobody else can access it. And really, that's the only password I now have to remember, is my master password. What it does is it keeps track of all your usernames, all your passwords. It's a little database that you can assign a little descriptive text as to what site it is or what application it is for the password. It'll automatically create strong passwords for you. You can make them as strong as you like. Just kind of a good New Year's resolution for everybody is not to use the weaker passwords, because we live in an age, unfortunately, where there are a lot of people out there who would love to steal your identity. And once they've got that, and once they've got a username and password for you, boy, it's really tough to undo that. So it's good right from the get-go to use a tool like this. Make sure you don't forget that master password, because there's no way to get that back. Yeah, but it really is a lifesaver from, you know, all the clutter of all the stuff that we've got going on and all the usernames and passwords that we've got out there. You can double-click on an entry. It'll automatically copy your password to the clipboard. You can paste that right into the password field. Or it's got a really neat feature called auto-enter. So if you're on a site where it's requesting a username and password, and you go over to Password Safe, you know, take a right-click on the particular entry and click auto-enter, and it enters that username and password and hits the enter key and gets you right into the site. Just a wonderful little utility. There are a bunch of them out there. We did a little bit of an analysis on all the tools out there. We tried to stay in the free realm, and this is a really good one. If you want to take a look at it, again, it doesn't cost you anything to try. It's at passwordsafe.sourceforge.net, and we'll put that link in our show notes as well. So give it a try. Our next feature is what we're going to try and do each week is focus on an area or feature within Wells.net, which is the Synod's website, www.wells.net. Sally takes the time to take a look at all of the vast numbers of pages and features and functions that are available on Wells.net. And we pick one and suggest that you give it a try. Sally, what's the Wells.net feature for today?
Well, today I wanted to talk a little bit about the Forward in Christ magazine online archive. Forward in Christ magazine, formerly known as Northwestern Lutheran, all articles for that magazine are online back to 1980. And so you can go out and search the archive and come up with what I call a treasure chest of information going all the way back to 1980. It's got an easy keyword search as well as an advanced search where you can search on dates and author names and topics and those kind of things. I did a quick search on the word epiphany, thinking that some people might be interested in Bible studies or articles related to the season of Epiphany, and got 49 results dating back to 1981. And they covered everything from feature articles, devotions, Bible studies, Q&A, all of the different things related to that keyword Epiphany. So very easy to use, and you can get to it at www.wells.net/jump/FIC archive for Forward in Christ Archive. And I encourage you to make use of it. We use it in our congregation quite a bit.
Wonderful material there. Now, Sally, you mentioned a keyword search. Does it actually search the physical content, all the content of each article?
Yes, it does. So even if the main focus of the article is an epiphany, I'm still getting the articles that make mention of epiphany in some way.
Tremendous asset, yeah. Both for the pastor, teacher, or just the interested church member who want to do a little bit more research or look at some of the things that we've talked about in the past. Just a great resource. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Wanted to mention that we have some upcoming training that's available. Many of you are in congregations that use a tool, a church management software tool called Shepherd Staff. It's a partnership that we have with Concordia Technology Solutions. It allows a congregation to manage basically their membership. So it tracks the members, it tracks attendance, if you take attendance or keep attendance or a friendship register or something like that. It tracks contributions, financial management. Just a great tool and a great product, and we have a good relationship with them and a discount that they offer to Wells congregations. But one thing that we've made a commitment to doing within the technology office here is to provide training. And Sally, you want to give us a little bit of an update on what kind of training we have coming up?
Sure. We're offering a course called Membership and More. It's actually going to delve into the membership and attendance modules of Shepherd Staff. And this is kind of a unique course. It's the first time we've offered one in this format. It's going to be done as an online class. People that sign up for the course can have access to a password-protected course website where they will get access to training tutorials, discussion boards, all types of training materials. We'll do it over a 5-week period, and at the end of each week, we'll have kind of recap conference calls. We're doing them as web conferences, so we'll all talk together as well as be able to view via the internet a shared website where we can look at the software in action and answer questions, delve deeper into the different topics that were covered for the week, and just kind of work through any issues that may be outstanding that weren't covered in the training for that week. We have the training coming up during the month of February and again in the month of April. And we have resources online where you can register for the training. It's at wells.net/jump/MAM for membership and more. The training costs $30, and that includes the 5 web conference sessions. And it should be a lot of fun. We're going to have people from all over the country kind of connecting and talking about their use of Shepherd Staff.
Yeah, this is a face-to-face training session that we originally did, 6-8 months ago, something like that, and was very well received. We had to turn a few people away. We just didn't have room. here's a way that people can do this from the comfort of their own home and really on their own schedule. And we're excited about the concept and hope to do other kinds of training with this kind of setup where we do virtual training and do it over a period of time. So, Sally, who's the training primarily for? What kind of user would we target here?
Well, certainly your church secretary types or your pastors who are out using the membership and attendance modules. I know in some congregations, different users have different responsibilities within Shepherd Staff because there are so many different areas that you can use the system for. So it would be those that are focusing on membership and attendance work within the congregation.
And if you want to know more about the Shepherd Staff software, you can get that information on our ShopWells site, www.shopwells.net. And there's a link there to find a little bit more information about the program, what Shepherd Staff can do. You can even download a demo, a fully functional demo. It's limited only by the number of members that you can add, but you really get a good flavor for what the program can do. At the top of the show, we talked about us wanting you to be a part of our conversation, and that's really important to us. That's going to make the show relevant to you. So we'd love to hear from you. There are a number of avenues that we provided that will allow you to join that conversation. One of course, is the website, wellstech.wells.net. You're going to, again, get the show notes from each show so you can get all the links that we've talked about, the picks of the week, the wells.net feature, the promo items, those kinds of things are all going to be there. You can read a little bit more about Sally and myself, your hosts, and you can also comment on each show. There's a comment section and different ways to contact us there. So visit wellstech.wells.net. You can also contact us by email. That's wellstech@wells.net. Feel free to send us your thoughts, concerns, questions, future topics, those kinds of things. Love to hear from you. If you want to go the more traditional route, you can leave us a voicemail. And if you give us permission, we'll actually play your voicemail on the air. You can get to our voicemail line by calling 414-375-2334. There are a number of other avenues as well. We're trying to give as many channels for you as possible. You know, one that I particularly like, and it's really helpful for us to kind of use a tool like this because we're using technology in a way. But some of you have maybe heard of the site Delicious. If you go to, it's kind of a funky URL, del.icio.us. Basically, Delicious is a social tagging site. So it allows people to tag different sites with different keywords, and it allows other people to look at those keywords and look at the sites that you've tagged with it. We've created a special keyword just for our Wells Tech podcast, and that's the keyword Wells Tech. So if you are a member of Delicious, and it's free and easy to use, go to that site. And if you see sites or pieces of content or news articles that you think are interesting, tag them with the keyword Wells Tech, and we'll take a look at that every week for those things that you've tagged and bring those up on the show as they're appropriate. So take a look at that. Many of you are also Facebook users. We have a Facebook page. If you go to the group section and search on the group Wells Tech, you're going to find us there as well, where you'll find show notes and different kinds of conversations going on there as well. And then finally, the last way to contact us is through what we call a listserv, or an email list if you want to call it that. Our listserv is called Wells Tech. It's a great place to ask questions of a larger audience. This listserv has been around for quite some time within, you know, our synod circles. There's over 600 subscribers at this point. Is that right? Does that sound right to
That's
you?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Over 600 subscribers. And the way a listserv works is you send out an email to a particular email address, and that email goes out to all the subscribers. So if you've got a tech question or something that you want to discuss, a discussion topic, you send that email out. There's going to be 600 recipients of that, and we found that the response to those questions has been excellent. So please take a look at that. If you want more information on that, you can go to our wellstech.wells.net website. You'll see a link there to subscribe to it. We're trying to get the latest and greatest questions up on there, so watch for that in the future. Just a great resource that you can use to ask and get your questions answered as they relate to technology and ministry. Finally, one of the blessings I think that God has given our church is very talented musicians. As we close out each of these Wells Tech podcasts, we'd like to feature one of those Wells musicians. And the featured Wells musician this week is Mike Wessendorf. If you want to know a little bit more about Mike, you can go to his website at mikewessendorf.com. That's MikeWestendorf.com. Mike is a Christian contemporary singer. He's just released a couple of new albums. The song that we're going to close the show with is Climb the Mountain. See you next week, everybody.
Journey of a thousand miles begins with the first step. The finish line seems far away. The road keeps going on and on till it seems to touch the sky. Will I have the strength to climb? And all I really want is to climb above the clouds, to rise above the mess when my life has been dragged down, to move beyond these childish ways into your shining light. Oh, give me the strength to climb.